Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. It's always an electrifying performance when Darren McFarland is on with us. Darren, what's going on?
Yeah, electrified. I love it. Just keep the power on, you know?
That's about that's power the power up here on the program.
Powering off is bad.
It was been an interesting show so far.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. I am shocked you guys got Michelle to work today. I figured she'd be putting together a parade in Lexington. I mean, I'm just impressed that she's working today.
I figured
she'd be on a cloud somewhere.
There, gotta do it for the team.
Well, okay, that's true. But and what is the significance of cloud nine, right? How did we get to cloud nine?
I feel like cloud eight really disrespected in the process.
Is there a problem with 8 and 10? How did we get to that's the cloud you want to be on? I don't get it.
It's a good question. Well, speaking of that, Darren,
that's a great question.
The Predators couldn't quite get to nine.
Oh, segue.
On Saturday, man.
Oof, man, you guys are good.
We're on it today here on the final hour of the program. 8 goals for the Predators on Saturday. They went 8-0, tied for their largest margin of victory in franchise history. There's another 8-0 performance that I think most people around here will remember as well.
You'll never forget.
The Predators for any length of time. What did you think of that performance and their response from what, quite frankly, I thought was an awful game for them against Seattle? Hard to get much better in terms of that response on Saturday against San Jose.
Both of those 8-0 games were, Saturday games. So
yeah,
one was home, and, of course, this one was in San Jose. Their only trip to San Jose, and I'm sure the Sharks are like, good riddance, see you later. Get out of here.
Yeah,
don't want to see you again.
Michael McCarron terrorizing the Sharks.
the Michael McCarron, Matt Luff show. I mean, who didn't see that one coming? I'm sure you guys picks to click, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Who had Matt Luff?
All over it.
Who had McCarron? Crushed it, I'm sure.
It's time for the listeners to start paying attention to that.
How could you overlook the fourth line and not know that they were due for like a 12-point night? I mean, come on. It's the response you're looking for, right? I mean, I thought Roman Josi said it best after Wednesday's loss. They didn't deserve that game. John Hines backed it up. I mean, he talked about the way they played. They knew the way they played. They were going to respond, and quite honestly, we would be having a different conversation today if they didn't. I mean, right? If we're just being honest, like Alex Stalock hasn't started a game. I had darker hair the last time he was a starter in the NHL, you know? I mean, Jarrett Stillman was trying to fire Kevin Stallings the last time Alex Stalock was in net in the NHL. So, I mean, it just time reference. It's been a while since he's been in between the pipes. So you got to take advantage of that, right? A Sharks team that's not very good. And you've got a guy in net that, you know, has been not even on an NHL roster this year. And, of course, they did that. They responded. That's what you want to see. Now we'll see. This is, you know, arguably maybe the biggest week of the season. At least it's going to be the biggest week of the season to this point. I know we're starting to say that a lot. But I think the last one was for different reasons, you know. The significance of the stadium series and Pekka's night. And, yes, you're still talking about wins and trying to stay in the race. But this one is like – this is huge. I mean, Dallas is not going away. Jason Robertson is hotter than a firecracker right now. Back-to-back hat tricks for him. Dallas beat Minnesota last night. By the way, he is the first NHL player. I feel like I'm doing trivia with you guys every Monday. I don't know why I'm doing this. Should we start doing prizes for this? I don't know.
We should.
I like this.
But Jason Robertson is the first player in the league to record back-to-back hat tricks under the age of 23 since whom? Who was the last NHLer to do it?
Robbie.
Oh, did you?
Robbie scooped you on this trivia question.
Oh,
the show.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can tell the people.
The answer is Philip Forsberg.
There you go.
Okay. Well,
it's still very good.
2016-17 season. By the way, in the last 30 years, it's only been done 4 times from guys that young. So, Dallas, they're right in the thick of things. They're a point ahead of Nashville in the standings. You've got Anaheim on Thursday. And, boy, is it getting bigger, the back-to-backs this weekend? St. Louis, matinee, morning hockey, kegs and eggs. And then Sunday night in Minnesota. So this is just a monster week for the Predators as they sit here going into games 56, 57. I mean, think about it. This time next week, what we'll be talking about them basically moving into the 60s for games in an 82-game season, which we know what that means. That's the stretch run.
No doubt. And, you know, to your point there, Dan, no one expected the fourth line to absolutely go nuts. But Saturday's game did involve a lineup change, which I found was interesting, obviously, you know, moving Johansson or moving, you know, Forsberg and Duchesne with Johansson. Again, it's a laugher. It's probably something this team needed. I don't know how much you take out of it, but what did you think of that move? Do you think that has staying power?
Well, I wasn't surprised, Joe, because I think we were talking about this last week, right? I mean, this is typically what coaches do in the NHL when things aren't working. And remember, they went into that game Saturday night 2-6 since the All-Star break, right? So, I mean, things had not been going their way in a very light month of February. So typically when things – and then you have the, you know, the clunker that we've already talked about in Seattle. So this is what happens. Coaches start shuffling things around, and they moved Janot up to this. But you could tell John Hines was – in fact, I think he told you guys, right, that you could tell he wasn't comfortable with that move. He didn't want to break up the third line. So – in fact, I even alluded to that on pregame on Saturday night. I was like, I just kind of feel like Janot is going to go back to the third line. I listened to the interview with you guys, and I was like, it didn't sound like the head coach was too fond of moving him up, but this is what you do. You're looking for a spark. You're looking to get things going. You're looking for, you know, that jump start, and there's another jump start. But we've seen this before. Does it have staying power? Yes, Joe, as long as they keep winning. And then when losing games, they'll start tinkering again. I mean, that's just life in the NHL. So I really wasn't that surprised by it. I think what's interesting is, you know, Duchesne is red hot now, 4 goals in the last 2 games, and just the production they're getting out of the third and fourth lines. But right now, they have to keep their foot on the gas, right? I mean, they can't let up. I mean, these other teams are not going away, and so it'll make for a fun race down the stretch.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren, I think we've come to expect it to a certain degree. Roman Josi with 4 assists the other night. He was a +6. I generally don't put too much into the plus-minus stat, but when you're a +6, I start to pay attention to it a little bit. Pretty good night for Roman Josi the other night. He's got 59 points in 53 games. My question for you is this. Right now he is on
pace. Was that his goal or was it not his goal? They took a goal away from him.
They did. It was close, man.
It was. I wasn't surprised.
I wasn't surprised either. But he is on pace right now to be well above a point per game. He could end up around 90 points. Is this the best season that we have ever seen out of a Nashville Predator? I ask you that question.
And can he be better next year? Let's already start the conversation.
Let's already start it.
Is there a next level?
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Right. It's weird when we start talking about Roman Josi, right? Because I feel like it's like, what more is there to say? We already know how elite he is. In fact, who was it? I was trying to remember. I think it was Dante Fabro when asked about playing alongside Roman Josi. And, you know, even this is the guy who plays alongside him. It's one thing for us to talk about him and our observations. This is a guy who's in the NHL and plays alongside him. And he was like lost to words. He like chuckled before he answered, like, what is there to say? Like, this guy just does things others, you know, the rest of us want to do and we can't do. You know, and that's what elite players do. And we know Roman Josi is elite. We've seen him just briefly not be in the lineup, and we see how critical it is for his presence in the lineup, right? I mean, he is just so important to what they do. I mean, he is the most important piece they have. And I know how important the goaltender is. We all know that. But yeah, no Roman Josi equals no playoffs, right? Like, you have to have that guy, and he just does it all. And like I said, he had their third goal on the night, the first goal in the second period. It took him till near the end of the game, or at least that's when I saw it. I don't know when you guys saw it, but because I kept looking to see if they were going to change it.
It was late.
It took him a long time, by the way. Did you notice to put up there whose goal it was?
Had to get the magnifying glass out. trace that puck down a little bit.
Right. I mean, I guess they had super slow motion. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know what else there is to say about him other than, you know, he's just spectacular and everything runs through him. And, you know, 4 points, 4 assists, like you said, a plus 6. How about Tomasino being a plus 5?
Yeah.
On and 3 assists as well. So I don't know what more there is to say about Roman other than he's elite. And every time we keep saying, is there actually another level? I guess we've answered that question. Yeah, I guess there is another level. If he can top this next year, I guess David Poyle is going to be sitting back laughing or smiling like a Cheshire cat, right, going, see, that's why we signed him that big contract. I guess he was worth every penny.
So, Darren, what is your primary top takeaway from the great sporting event known as the NFL Scouting Combine?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, Joe. Thank you for going there because I would like to push back a little bit, just gently push back on your combine conversation. Would you really not want it here? I mean, think about what we could do. We could have our shows there. You know, we could run too. We could be doing our own 40s. I mean, just think about the fun we could have if the combine was in the city. The NFL is begging to move it around. They're going to move it around eventually. And so why wouldn't we want that here? Wouldn't it be great for the city? I get it. And here's the thing. I agree with you guys in all seriousness. I agree with you. But here's the thing. It's like the Pro Bowl. Like, we can sit here and say the game is crap, and it's correct. It's the right assessment. The game is crap. It's not even a game. It's a two-hand touch. It's a flag football game. But people watch. I'm not kidding you guys. I could show you on my phone. I received 4 texts this weekend from random friends of mine questioning like 40 times, what does this mean? Because they're sitting there locked in watching the combine. Like, I get it. Like, I don't know how people do that. But people love it. They can't get enough of it. It's amazing. It's amazing the power of the NFL, where it seems like whatever they put out there, people just lap it up like a bowl of milk. It's incredible. But I would want it here, even though I think I'm laughing like you guys. But people can't get enough of it. And I think it would be cool for us, I mean, selfishly, do our shows there.
Hand-size measurements.
Oh, wouldn't that be the best?
Yeah, it would.
Just to find Kenny Pickett and say, just shake his hand and be like, oh, my gosh, I dwarfed his hand. This guy couldn't even pick up a hot dog. Oh, my gosh, I saw him over the concession stand. Like, wouldn't that be great fodder for the show?
Sure.
Sure, of course.
I tried to sell it. I mean, I thought I had you guys. No?
No, there's some. I mean, selfishly, you're right. I mean, it would be cool. I just don't know that it's – I don't know that it really does a ton. It's not like an event in the city. You know what I mean? I mean, people would be here. There'd be a lot of media coverage from Nashville, right? But the event itself is –
But the whole stage, but what about all the talk is the combine in Nashville, though, right? It's good for the city. Everybody's talking about the combine in Nashville. Like, that's good. Would you want to see that Baylor speed up close and personal? I mean, come on. There's a lot of speed at Baylor.
Yeah, there is. If Rondale Moore was here, then Rex would be all over.
Yeah, exactly. We miss Rondale. So could have had him. It would have been worth it.
Darren McFarland,
our guest. No Velas.
Doesn't quite do it for him.
No?
Nope, not Rondale.
But good for him. He ran well. Everybody runs a 4.2 now.
Not me. Not everybody.
Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Show. You can catch him on Darren Donick and Chase and D-Mace from 10 to 2. Every weekday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
It was a pleasure, boys. Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well. We'll come back. We'll react to what Darren had to say there. Take your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Darren McFarland for joining us in the last segment. What did you think of the Predators' response on Saturday night? I thought they were really bad against Seattle last week. We talked about that after the game. Was looking forward to see what the response looked like. Can't say that I saw 8-0 coming from the Predators on Saturday, but they went 8-0 against San Jose. Darren talked about it. I mean, San Jose is a bad team. Stalock was in goal. All that's nice. The fourth line, they got it done the other night. Philip Tomasino, Matt Luff, and Michael McCarron. Heck of a night for those guys. They're on the board offensively early and often in that game. And Roman Josi, 4 assists, +6. Another night for that guy. We'll get a little bit more into him coming up here in just a few minutes. But what a game for the Predators.
They needed it. You know, I don't know how much it does for you, but certainly it kind of wipes away the previous performance. And you get a little feel good. You get some guys who normally don't, you know, do much offensively, having a big night. Duchene all of a sudden is – Duchene has replaced Forsberg as the guy on the heater with this team here in the very recent history. But, you know, you get a shutout for Saros. We talked about that last week, too. It's like, I think he's been playing well, but the numbers haven't been great, you know, in some of these games. I think a lot of it is what's happened in front of him. It's still to have a shutout for him, too, is kind of a nice thing, you know, to push into this week. I mean, it's just it's a huge week. Got an open mind. I mean, I think it go either way this week. And this week, if it goes either way strongly, like you do really well or you do really poorly, you know, then that could kind of tell us where things are going overall. And meanwhile, there's still that little matter of trying to sign Philip Forsberg to a long-term deal. Could tell us where that maybe could be heading.
Oh, by the way, we are 2 weeks from the day away from the trade deadline in the NHL. So March 21st is right around the corner. NHL trade deadline day, 2 weeks from today. So it's crunch time with the Philip Forsberg part of this.
And see, this is my point. As we go back to the combine talk, we have, you know, we have huge hockey games going on. The NBA is heating up. We got March Madness, incredible basketball going on. We need the freaking combine. You got plenty of stuff going. It's a great time of year for sports.
I thought you were about to make an argument why March is the best month for sports.
Well, it is my favorite. Now, if you're not a huge college basketball fan, then I understand not agreeing with that. I mean, I can certainly listen to people who are like, nah, man, it's October because you have
– October's pretty great.
Big time, you have conference games in football and baseball postseason. That's fine. But for me, it is. And look, part of March being great is also free agency. Like, that's real stuff. I'm here for the free agency.
Sure.
Just, you know.
Not a big combine.
Oh, it's like it's a necessary event.
It is.
It's fine. Anyway, Preds, big week.
Can't wait to see Rex Rode wearing I Love the NFL Combine shirt next year walking around in Indy. Be good stuff.
Maybe I will get one of those.
Now, big week for the Predators. I mean, it's interesting to take a look at the standings right now. Number one, you've got three games at home this week if you're the Predators against Dallas, Anaheim coming in on Thursday, St. Louis over the weekend, and then you go on the road to Minnesota on Sunday. Minnesota going the wrong way right now. They lost 6-3 yesterday to the Wild. They were down 4-1 in the game. They end up making it 4-3, pulling the goalie, and then Dallas scores two empty netters to make it 6-3. So Dallas is red hot right now. Jason Robertson, back-to-back hat tricks. They're ahead of you right now if you're the Predators. The games played has finally drawn even with the Stars. So you're both at 55 games played. Stars have 67 points. You have 66. Right now, the Predators are in the second wild card spot, which, as we know, if you get in the second wild card spot, that means you're going to be playing the Colorado Avalanche. Do you want that in the first round? Probably not if you're the Predators. I know that they've beaten them twice this year, but I don't know. I'd probably try to avoid Colorado. That's just me. Not everybody agrees. I understand.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you'll take it however you can get it, you know. However you can get into this thing. Look,
sure.
If you can, you know, get to the two to have, you know, have home ice in the first round.
Which is attainable, by the way.
Which not long ago I didn't think was attainable. And that's the thing. Even as the Preds have let other teams behind them in, primarily Dallas, St. Louis and Minnesota also are letting people in. And it's just what a bunch of teams there. And then you go to the other side. I mean, you go from, you know, Calgary down to Vancouver, you know, 11-point difference between six teams.
Yeah.
That could turn out so many ways. And look, it could still turn out that the Pacific gets, I mean, I don't think they're going to get five teams in. That would be very disappointing for the Central, but like they're in the mix there.
Sure. No, they're definitely in the mix. And right now the two wild card spots belong to the Stars and Preds, two Central teams. But the Stars are even with points with Minnesota right now. Minnesota's played one fewer game. Preds 1 point back of the Wild. So if you have a good week this week, you could find yourself in third, maybe looking, staring down the barrel of second in the Central Division this week. And this is the last time you played Dallas all season long is tomorrow. So it's a massive game. Like, you're going to have to continue to win, and I don't know that everything's going to come down to tomorrow as to who is either making the playoffs or not between the Stars and Predators or who's positioned where, but you want, when 2 points are on the table, you want to get that done, and preferably you want to get it done in regulation tomorrow if you're the Preds.
Yeah, I mean, that's the – well, look, they're all big, but this one, this first one is critical. And if you could end up getting – you know, if you could end up getting 4 points in these two home games against them and only allowing them the one, that's, you know, then you've set yourself up. But again, they're still, I mean, they're red hot. They've won four in a row. They're 7-2-1 their last 10. They got guys getting back-to-back hat tricks. You know, they're looking like a good hockey team again.
Well, and they're in a spot too where, you know, we've talked about the Predators and decisions that they've got to make with Forsberg at the deadline. Like, the Stars are the same way with Klingberg and Pavelski. Like, they're playing like this, they're probably going to keep them and hold on to them and just take your chances at that point, unless they just hit the tubes here over the next 2 weeks, which, with the way they've been playing as of late, I don't see happening.
And again, that was like sure thing sell, yeah, as of really like entering February.
Yeah.
Things change fast.
Things change fast.
And this week could, I mean, really, again, if it's a little bit of good, a little bit of bad, then okay, you're still in the same spot. But if it goes strongly either way, you know, then a week from today, it could be a lot clearer where things are going.
Yep, no question about it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Nashville Predators on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming back, we'll ask Joe Rexrode the question that I asked Darren McFarland. Is Roman Josi having the best season that we have ever seen a Nashville Predator have? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Coach, off of that, as you say, not to brush past this one too quickly, but the week that's coming up, and particularly Dallas, how do you want your team to handle these next 48, 72 hours as you move along, and each night seems to get a little bit more important as we go along here?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, tonight you want to enjoy the win. Tomorrow we have a travel day. We get back to Nashville, and then we have a day on Monday where we can get, you know, reorganized and get dialed in and start focusing in on Dallas. I think for the players, it's important to have a mental break on a day like tomorrow. And then they got to come back to the rink focused in on Monday. And then I think for us as coaches, it's a preparation day tomorrow to make sure that we're ready to present the things that we need to present and work on Monday to make sure that we're moving on and ready for the game against Dallas.
That was Preds head coach John Hines after the game on Saturday, an 8-0 win for the Nashville Predators. Get the goose egg and the snowman in the same game. That's good stuff.
Nice. Also, that song is like, what is that song? It's kind of cool.
It's Whitney, no, Amy Winehouse.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Right? Yes?
Is that, oh, okay, now I'm, yeah, okay, you're right, yeah.
I don't know, I just clicked something that I felt would fit the vibe of the sound clip.
Impressive.
Worked for me.
You're vibing today.
I'm always vibing back here.
Especially with those cats.
Yeah. Big time vibing here on the program. Joe, I'm going to ask you the question I threw out there to Darren McFarland. Roman Josi has 59 points, 53 games as a defenseman. Keeping in mind, he's already won a Norris Trophy, and I don't think he's going to win one this year, although I think he'll get in the conversation. But Cale Makar is already in the 60s in terms of his points. And you know how sometimes it just feels like a guy's going to win? Like, it feels to me like Cale Makar is going to win. But that's not to take anything away from Roman Josi. But keep in mind, he's already won a Norse trophy. Pekka Rinne has won a Vezina trophy. UC Saros was spectacular last year. He's been spectacular for the most part this year. Paul Kariya has the single-season franchise record for points, which is 85. Right now, Yossi's on pace to beat that. Are we seeing maybe the best season in the history of this franchise from number 59 this year? Because I think you can make an argument that we are.
Yeah, well, and it's maybe. Here, let me ask you this. Did you have you considered the Paul Kariya 05-06 season the greatest season in franchise history? Like if someone asked you that going to the, you know, whenever, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that Paul Kariya season.
Yes, for a long time. Honestly, I would put the Josi season from a couple of years ago right there with it. But, yeah, I mean, Paul Kariya was pretty next level that year. But, if Josi breaks that as a defenseman with 85 points right. in a year, like, what are we talking about? Like, it's got to be, right?
Well, and that's also –
I know there's more to the game than points. I get that.
Yes. Yes, no doubt. But, I mean, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And, you know, it's interesting because we've talked about this year about Forsberg at different times. Like, wow, he's about to have the best offensive season, you know, in Preds history.
Sure.
As a forward, he's probably going to break the goals record still. I mean, I think Duchesne and Forsberg both going to
– They're tied
gonna,
right now, 27 apiece.
So they're both going to beat Arvidsson's record. And then you have – but, you know, it's some people would say, gosh, but you don't even win the Norris. I mean, why – he won the Norris this other season. Why is this not? But to your point, sometimes you just have bad timing. You have a kid doing ridiculous things, ridiculous numbers for arguably the best team in the league.
Right.
It's hard to beat that.
It is. Now, I'm not saying Roman Josi can't do it because I think he's going to be right there. But, you know, Paul Kariya, 05-06, 85 points. He had 31 goals, 54 assists. Now, Yossi's not obviously going to get 31 goals. If he gets to 20, that's a pretty darn good season as a defenseman.
That's massive.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, you're talking about if he breaks it, you're probably talking about 19, 20 goals and 60-something assists at that point, which is just absurd.
Absurd.
He's already at 45. So he's going to end up getting 60-something assists this year if he stays healthy. Like, I think this is the greatest season we have ever seen a Nashville Predator have. And I feel like we're not really talking about it that much because, to Darren's point, it's like, oh, yeah, and it's Roman Josi. It's what he does. But we're watching a guy have, I think, the best season a player on this team has ever had. And you start talking about, you know, greatest players in franchise history. I know that Pekka's number one right now, and it's going to be hard to unseat him, especially at that position, the position he plays. And I'm not saying that Roman Josi is, like, unquestionably going to be the guy one day, but Roman Josi is going to have a whole lot of records with this group when he's done that are going to be very difficult to break. The guy is incredible.
No, he's right in his prime, and does not look like he's slowing down anytime soon. Durable, you know, he's had some concussions, but he really hasn't had too much in the way of injuries.
No,
he's gonna stack some more seasons like this. He should, unless he has some bad luck. I mean, right now, Hockey Reference, so you know, he's tops franchise history in assists per game, 0.85, you know, points per game. Again, these are single season. 1.11, that's tops. Also, adjusted assists right now with 66. You know, so again, that's more than Kariya had that year. So Kariya's on this list. So already he has surpassed his full season there in adjusted assists. So it's pretty ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy that he very well could end up with 90 points this year as a defenseman. Now that's It's going to get, I think, a little bit more difficult to maintain the pace for him just because you're playing a whole lot of games and not very many days. That has a physical toll on you after a while. And also, like, it just is what it is this time of year at the NHL. Once you get closer to the playoffs, it's more difficult to score. It just is. Like, the goals per game go down this time of year. Every team they're clogging up the neutral zone. They're playing as hard as they can play every night. So it's more difficult to generate offense this time of year. But even with that being said, I mean, the guy is – I mean, he's the one guy to me that they have. And I would probably, you know, exclude Philip Forsberg from this when he's on. When Philip Forsberg's on, I feel like he can do this too. But But Roman Josi on a nightly basis, he can create offense by himself. Like, he doesn't need anybody else out there. He can create space, create offense by himself. And doing that as a defenseman, it's kind of like the Derrick Henry conversation. I hope we're enjoying what we're watching, because this is not normal, what Roman Josi's doing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and I think it is it is taken for granted more than it should be. He's he's been so good for so long.
Exactly.
But he's different now.
Yeah. No, this is a different level. And I talked about this earlier this year. You know, he was so good his Norris Trophy year. And we can take the real nerdy route and get into like the deep dive of the analytics and all that stuff. But just basically suffice it to say he was elite, and where he's especially elite is driving offense and carrying the play. Like, he does that way better than any other defenseman in the league. It's not even close, and that's the case again this year. But I feel like he is significantly better this year than he was when he won the Norris Trophy, which is incredible. Now, part of the point production is that he's got 25 points on the power play this year, and we know what the power play has been like around here for a while.
It's actually a good power play.
It's a good power play.
That helps.
So that is helping in terms of the point production. But 5-on-5, I mean, you're still talking about a pretty productive season from this guy. It's incredible what he's doing right now. And I think it is. I think we are watching. We spent so much time talking about Duchesne and Forsberg and Johansson and Granlund this year. I think we're watching the best season a player has ever had right in front of us. And we've not talked that much about it. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's a great point. Do you feel like Josi has benefited, because we've talked about this with other players, from the coaching change? It's been 2 years, but I mean,
yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because
it's a little bit different.
It's interesting to think about that, because the year that Laviolette got fired was also the year that he won the Norris Trophy, right? So he went through both of them and still won the Norris. You know, I think one thing that I will say, I think he deserves credit for, you know, we talk about other players buying in. I think he's bought in too. I think you and I would both agree. First part of last year, he wasn't very good by his standards. I think he was trying to do too much. And I think, you know, it's obvious he can still do a lot for this team. But I think at times last year he was maybe playing outside of himself a little bit. And now he's bought into the system of, all right, I'll carry the puck when I can. When I don't have the lane, I'm giving it to Matt Duchesne, or I'm giving it to Philip Forsberg, Matt Luff. Giving it to Matt Luff like the other night.
Get the puck to
Matt Luff at all costs.
Crying out loud.
So, yes, I think from that standpoint, the system has benefited him. I think what really benefits him is, and I don't know how to put a tangible body of work on this, but teams used to, like, think back to that Dallas series a couple years ago. They were going after Roman Josi. It was pretty clear. They were coming after him. And there was no answer to that from the Predators. And we saw it last week. I think it was Dallas. It was Radek Foxa. He took a run at Josi. Tanner Jeannot goes over there immediately and gets in a fight. Again, I don't know how to put a tangible number to that, but I think it makes a difference.
Oh, it's got to. It's got to. It would have made, you know, it would have made a difference for Arvidsson too, you know, if he were still here. But
by the way, he had a hat trick the other day too. It's good stuff.
Like, an incredible week for former Preds.
It really has been.
I saw Alex Doherty had a tweet about that. I was like, Neil had a hat trick too? Is that right?
I think that was a joke.
Okay, I was going to say, wait, Neil's playing?
I don't think so.
What else did I miss, though? It was a bunch of stuff on there.
Well, Hornquist scored a big goal. Fiala has been really good as of late. Hartman, by the way, have we talked
Hartman's,
about this?
Hartman's, you know.
He's lighting it up for Minnesota. Ryan Hartman has 40 points, 54 games, 22 goals for Minnesota.
Incredible. Now, wait a minute. Now, James Neal is playing for the Springfield Thunderbirds. He didn't have a hat trick for them.
Well, he could have. Maybe he did.
I'm gonna want to believe that he did. But I forget the point I was making when we got off on that tangent.
Get the puck to Matt Luff?
That's probably what it is. Yeah. Point being. But, yeah, no. Josi, absolutely. If you know that there's really no retribution coming, you know, and people are taking runs at you, and of course the other teams, you know, bruising forwards are going to target you exactly, you know?
By the way,
it's different now.
I got to apologize. James Neal had a hat trick 2 days ago in the AHL.
Boom!
I don't know if that's quite what we're looking for the AHL hat trick, but hey, man.
Hey.
You'll take it.
I mean, all I know it was former Preds week, including the former Preds who beat the Preds in Seattle.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.